So one of my wisest spiritual teachers, one of my son's godmothers, recommended the documentary My Octopus Teacher to me recently. Has anyone seen it? Wendy's seen it. It's a captivating and relaxing 85 minutes about a filmmaker, Craig Forrester, who observes a solitary octopus and her South African kelp forest for a year. When Foster first catches sight of this octopus, he notices her using a very strange method of defending herself. She's gathered all these rocks and shells and attached them to her suckers and kind of made herself into this little ball. And his immediate thought on seeing this was, there is something unusual here. There is something to learn here. So he returns again and again to the same small piece of kelp forest to get to know this creature. And he remarks that others seem a bit baffled why he keeps returning to the same shallow patch of the South African coastline when there's a whole ocean to explore. But he's adamant. Returning every day for a year allows Foster to dive deeper and deeper, literally and figuratively, into this one octopus's world. He learns the tracks she leaves in the sand. He watches her experiment new ways of evading predators. He catches her playing with fish. He cheers her on as she regrows a tentacle and mates and lays her eggs. And ultimately, Foster comes to see her as his teacher. What she taught me was to feel that you're a part of this place, not a visitor. That's a huge difference. Foster is part of the story of the octopus, her kelp forest, and the wide interconnectedness of creation. It struck me that this is very similar to our practice too. We return to the same scripture over and over across a lifetime of sermons, daily prayer, and Bible study. As Episcopalians, the lectionary, our cycle, 3 years of readings, keeps us honest by bringing us in contact with the same stickiest, puzzling pieces of scripture over and over. It keeps us saying, there is something unusual here. There is something to learn here. Ultimately, with scripture and Jesus as our teacher, we learn that we are part of the story of God's people and the wide interconnectedness of humanity and creation. And our Christian practice is not just about studying text and tradition to know God. It's about knowing God through people, too. This past week, Rabbi David Wolpe wrote a love letter to ministry in the New York Times, and it's all about the profound gift it is to walk with individuals, families, and communities through the most poignant moments of their lives. And he notes that, you know, he's seen how difficult it's gotten to maintain community in an era of political division and extreme polarization. And so he recommends two practices to keep people engaged with one another. The first is that he encourages people to become part of each other's stories before they entangle themselves in each other's politics. He says, when you share the struggles of raising children and navigating life, when you attend meetings and pack lunches together, when you're on the same softball team and sit near each other in synagogue, you don't start each conversation with how the other party's candidate is a scoundrel. The second practice is listening. He writes, "We who do not know ourselves believe we understand others. We must always be reminded that each person is a world, and the caricatures we see of others on social media and in the news are just that, a small slice of the vastness within each human being." In other words, cultivating curiosity. noticing when there is something unusual here, something to learn. We're turning again and again, going deeper and deeper into the fascinating world that is another person. Their story becomes your story, becomes our story. John the Baptist and his cousin Jesus were unusual. They did unusual things like live off of locusts in the wilderness and make friends with lepers. Their disciples were drawn in, but their critics were quick to judge. Jesus observes in our gospel the fickle nature of his critics. John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. They clearly noticed how John and Jesus' behavior strays from the norm. Jesus and his disciples enjoy life too much and John's too little. Yet they think they understand right away. They conclude there's nothing for them to learn from the two cousins. Quick, self-righteous judgment allows the critics to simply write the prophets off. It lets them avoid growth and change. My friend who recommended my octopus teacher to me is the same friend who taught me to aspire to the phrase, turn to wonder. Turn to wonder. When you feel yourself judging, whether yourself or others, choose to wonder instead. Someone cuts in front of you in line, wonder about what has them feeling so distracted or hurried. Someone says or does something odd, wonder what's behind it for them. Some emotion sneaks up on you. Wonder why it arose, why it's got such a hold on you. Turning to wonder is about taking a deliberate stance of curiosity. It presumes you've always got something to learn. Curiosity is the first step toward authentic love. It is curiosity that motivates us to give space and time for the other to be fully themselves. Craig Foster makes a habit of hanging back a few meters in the water, day after day, week after week, holding room for the trust between himself and this alien creature to blossom, letting her reveal her eccentricities to him, bit by bit. Curiosity is also the millionth step in authentic love, too. Staying curious about yourself and others requires humility and gentleness, patience and generosity. There is a vastness to the world that is this other person, even the one I grew up with, even the one I work alongside, even the one I'm spending a lifetime married to, even my own self. There is something new to learn. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Learn from me. What happens when we yoke ourselves to Jesus' gentleness and humility? It becomes part of our hearts too. Gentleness and humility are not passivity. In the documentary, Foster's primary mode of simply observing and filming, it might seem like passivity. At one point, he even resists interfering when his beloved friend is attacked by a pajama shark. And yet, outside the film, above the water, Foster has dedicated his life to activism on her behalf. He founded the Sea Change Project. It's an organization that uses storytelling to inspire the protection of the ocean and wild places. See, a common octopus lives only for about 1 year. The last act of a female octopus is self-sacrificial. She gives all her life force away so that a tiny portion of her little eggs may hatch and live on. Foster's Sea Change Project work is in honor and gratitude of the one creature and what she has taught him. Yet it is necessarily about the larger work of protecting the flourishing of generations to come, not by saving each individual baby octopus, but by guarding the health of the kelp forest in which they live. Action born out of gentleness and humility may be more cautious and considered than the action that comes from righteous judgment, but its strength is rooted in authentic and enduring love. When you love something or someone or some people in that way, you'll give your time and energy and resources to protecting their environment, nurturing their development, cultivating the conditions they need to thrive, whether that's a garden, a forest, a parish, a neighborhood, a school. Grounded in gentleness and humility, that's what makes the burden of that work light. That's what makes it easy. That's what makes it love. After watching the film, I pictured Jesus as a diver, hanging back, suspended in the water, completely enraptured by how we are learning and exploring and living and experimenting and trying new things. I imagined God's own deep curiosity about creation, God's eagerness to see what we'll try next, lovingly fascinated by the vastness of each of our worlds. I thought of the prayer that often appears alongside Jesus' sayings about yokes and rests and light burdens from our Compline service. Keep watch, dear Lord, with those who work or watch or weep this night, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ, give rest to the weary, bless the dying, soothe the suffering, pity the afflicted, shield the joyous, and all for your love's sake. Did the octopus know how much she and her kelp forest was loved? Do we? Amen.